All right. Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I don't have a lot of time. I was going to read pretty much the entire chapter of Deuteronomy chapter 8, but I want to focus our attention especially upon verse 11. The Lord in Deuteronomy chapter 8 is calling upon the people to remember Him and to beware not to forget Him. And that's what we find in verse 11. He says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today." You know, there are many scriptures. There are many things in scriptures that we are warned to beware of. And among them, amazingly, is this warning to beware not to forget God. Now, I will make reference to other parts of Deuteronomy chapter 8 as it's important. But forgetting God, first of all, is something that characterizes the ungodly. We need to understand that. It is something that characterizes the wicked. And there are only two categories of people in this world. There are the godly and there are the wicked. There are the saved and there are the lost. The saved are the godly, the lost are the wicked. And forgetting God is something that the ungodly do. Many times in Scripture, we are reminded of that. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17, it says, "The wicked shall return to Sheol," or to hell, "all the nations that forget God." Psalm 50 and verse 22, "Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver." Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4, "In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God." So the ungodly people, the lost people, the wicked people do not remember God. Isaiah says it this way, "You forget the Lord your Maker." Have you ever considered how many people go through their life never recognizing God as the Creator, as their Creator, that He is the Almighty, the Gracious, the Good God? How many people in this world go day after day after day not recognizing God as Creator? And when you think of forgetfulness, you may tend to think, well, you know, that's something benign. That's something harmless. That's something that's just, you know, that's just ignorance. That's just an oversight. Well, forgetfulness, when it comes to God, is willful rebellion. Paul, speaking to the Romans and describing sinfulness and describing the sinfulness of natural man, says this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress or hold down the truth." In verse 21, he says this, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." And then you move on down to verse 28 of Romans chapter 1, and he says this, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God," some translations say it like this, "they did not like to retain in their knowledge God. God gave them up to a debased mind, to what ought not to be done." So this is not just an oversight. Forgetting God is not just an oversight. It means that when you think about the ungodly, the wicked, the lost, not desiring to retain the knowledge of God in their hearts, in their minds, what they're doing there is that they are disapproving. They disapprove of holding God in their knowledge. That's what that means. So it's not just an oversight. It's not just ignorance. It's willful rebellion to forget God. And so the depraved, the lost man, forgetting God is something that characterizes him. And it's willingly holding God out of their knowledge. So forgetting God is something that characterizes the ungodly. But forgetting God is also a problem that those who are godly have. Think about that. It's a problem that those who are godly have. It's a problem of the godly But the godly who are in a backslidden state. That's an old word. We don't hear that much anymore, do we? When I was growing up, pastors always talked about backsliding. We were always reminded or warned about backsliding. We read many times that this is indeed a reality. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 21 through 22, it says, "A voice on the bare heights is heard, the weeping and pleading of Israel's sons, because they have perverted their way, they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, O faithless sons," or backsliding children in some translations, "I will heal your faithlessness," or "I will heal your backsliding." A backslider is someone who turns away from God, and we are all backsliders by nature. Okay, even though we're saved, even though we're redeemed, we still have this inclination at times to turn away from God and to turn to self. That is what a backslider does. Proverbs 14 and verse 14 says this, "The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways." And from time to time, even though we pursue God, we turn to our own ways and we fall back. And when we do so, we forget God. Psalm 78, verses 56 and 57. And speaking of the people of God and speaking of Israel, it says this of them, "Yet they tested and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned away," or turned back, "and acted treacherously like their fathers. They twisted like a deceitful bow." So forgetting God is not only a trait of the ungodly, a mark of the ungodly, but also people who are godly, but who are in a backslidden state can forget God. So God in this text, and in many places in the book of Deuteronomy, says, "Do not forget me. Don't forget me." So I want us to think about this warning in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 11. "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today." First of all, I want us to consider the wonder of the warning. The wonder of the warning. You know, as I get older, it seems like the years just fly by. It seems like 1 year just drifts into another. The years just disappear pretty quickly. A lot of life to me seems like a blur, especially after having kids and being busy with the kids. Life just seems like a blur. But no matter how fast time flies by, there will always be some moments, there will always be some events that I will never forget. They are just defining moments in my life, and I won't forget them. And when you think about the 40-year wandering of the Israelites in the wilderness, the wilderness wandering wasn't a time that flew by. If you read the wilderness wandering, and I'm sure it seemed like to them an eternity. And it was punctuated with one outstanding happening after another. Happenings that surely the children of Israel would never forget, right? Yet consider the Lord's warning to them. He says, "Do not forget me." In light of all that they had experienced, and think about everything they had experienced, the Lord says, "Beware lest you forget me." The wonder is that they did forget him. The wonder is they forgot things that were so amazing. It just left their memory. They didn't think about it anymore. Psalm 78 is a commentary on the forgetfulness of the children of Israel. In verse 11, it says, "They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. In the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made the water stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and at night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers." And it says that they forgot it all. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. They had forgotten that he had made a way for them to cross the Red Sea. Think about that. Think about that miracle. How amazing that was. The waters stand on end, and they are able to walk across, not on muddy ground, not on mushy ground, but on dry ground. They forgot basically how they were saved. They forgot how they were saved. In verse 10 it says, or verse 11 says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." They forgot how they were saved. They forgot that God, their Savior, had done all of these great things in Egypt in order for them to be let go. Church, it's very easy for us to forget God has delivered us at times. Right? We forget about the bondage of the human will. Martin Luther wrote a great little book on that called The Bondage of the Will. Jonathan Edwards wrote another book, wrote a book about it from a different perspective called The Freedom of the Will, but they were both talking about the same thing, which is the bondage of the will. We forget about the bondage of the will. We forget about our slavery, our bondage to sin and Satan. And sometimes as we've been saved 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, we forget about the seriousness of our captivity, what things were like before we were saved. And we forget that because we turn to our own ways. We turn to our own desires. We turn to our own passions. But it's amazing that the children of Israel forgot how they were saved, that God delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. They forgot that the Lord had led them. In verse 2 of chapter 8, it says, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you, these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." They forgot that the Lord had led them. All those 40 years, the Lord had led them. They forgot that. The question that was on the entrance exam to Bible college was, who led the children of Israel through the wilderness? What do you think most people answered? Moses. The correct answer is God. God led the children of Israel through the wilderness, wandering. I mean, every morning they woke and found the mercies of the Lord were new. Every morning they woke, they found manna from heaven. Every morning they woke and they found that their clothes hadn't worn anymore. Every morning they awoke and they found that their shoes hadn't worn anymore. It's very easy for us to get that God has led us. He's led us all the way to where we are right now, and that God is right now leading us. I mean, we can't sometimes see where he's leading us or understand why he's leading us the way he's leading us, but God has a hidden will, and we're not privy to that. But we got to understand that God is wise. He is all wise. He has perfect wisdom, and he knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows exactly what we need, and he knows exactly where we need to go. Amen. He has led us, and he will continue to lead us. They forgot how the Lord had fed them. It says, "And he humbled them," verse 3, "and he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Can you imagine that? They forgot about the fact that every morning when they woke up, breakfast was there. Lunch was there. Dinner was there. Every single morning. They forgot that the Lord had fed them. They forgot how he had providentially cared for them. Verse 4, your clothing didn't wear out on you. Your foot did not swell those 40 years. I mean, they didn't grow out of their shoes. Their shoes didn't wear out and the clothing didn't wear out. God had providentially cared for them day after day after day, and they were in desperate need of that care. They're out in a barren wilderness where food is scarce and water is scarce, but the Lord provided for them the entire way. They forgot how he had protected them. Verse 7 says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and the hills." Now, think about this. He says, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. When they came into the land of promise, was it easy? Was it easy? No. It was a battle. In every place, they needed to take that land by force, and the Lord gave them one great victory after another. But Judges 8 and verse 34 says, the people forgot that. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. They forgot that. Think about Jericho. How in the world could you forget that victory? Think about that. How easy it is for us to forget the Jerichos in our lives, right? Times when it seemed like the obstacles were too big or the obstacles were too high to overcome, and the Lord gave grace to overcome. The Lord came through. He gave us the victory when there seemed to be no victory. I know that in recent days I've had something weigh pretty heavy upon my mind, and I'm thinking through, how in the world am I going to deal with this? How in the world am I going to handle this? You know, how's God going to handle this? And he came through, as he has many, many times in my life. But I've forgotten how much I had forgotten about those times. How many Jerichos had I forgotten about in my own life? But the Lord many times has given grace to overcome those things that seemed insurmountable, that from a human perspective were impossible. They forgot what God had done for them. And the Bible tells us that it didn't take them long to do this. The Bible tells us that they forgot them quickly. In Psalm 106 and verse 13, it says, "But they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel." Soon they forgot all those wonders, all those miracles that God had done in the wilderness. It's amazing how quickly we can forget how the Lord has worked in our lives. We're no different than them. I think about the disciples even. They manifested this, right? In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus feeds the 5,000, right, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In a desolate place, that's what we're told. They were in a desolate place, and there was the disciples even asked then, you know, how are we going to feed this multitude? And Jesus feeds them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In chapter 15, you have the feeding of the 4,000. And what did the disciples ask there? Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed such a great crowd? They had already forgotten that the Lord had fed 5,000 with that minuscule lunch. One chapter, and they're asking the same question: how are we going to feed these people? And you can just see the Lord kind of shaking his head. I can do it. I can feed these people. You've seen it happen before. You see, if you've seen the Lord do great things in your life, he's going to do them again. But in order to have the confidence that he's going to do them again, you've got to remember what he's already done. How quickly we forget. The children of Israel forgot these wonders soon. It's a wonder they even forgot, but it's a greater wonder that they forgot them so quickly. But the Bible also tells us that they forgot them often. That makes it a wonder. Jeremiah 2 and verse 32, he says, "Can a virgin or a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." How often? That's humbling. That is humbling. How many days pass? How many days of our lives pass, and we don't reflect on the goodness of God? We don't reflect on what He's done for us. We don't reflect on what He's provided for us. We don't reflect on how He's blessed us. How many days pass without us thinking about what God has done? Without us thinking about God? It's humbling. We indeed do forget Him days without number. So the wonder of this warning is that God had done so many amazing things for them, and they forgot it, and they forgot it so soon, and they forgot it so often. But what was the cause of their forgetfulness? What caused them to forget? First of all, when they were satisfied, they forgot God. Verse 10, he says, "And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes which I command you. Lest you, when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them." They forgot God when they were satisfied. When everything was going well for them, that's when they forgot God. And what God is saying to us all here is, look, when things are going good, when you're satisfied, when life is well, that's when you should be thankful. That's when you should be thankful. When things are going good for you is when you should be thankful. It's when we should be most thankful. But how often is it when things are smooth and everything's going our way and we've got everything we could possibly want and we're satisfied, we forget God? Even when things are difficult, when we're going through lean times, we still have reason to be thankful to God, because we have everything in Christ Jesus. He's given us everything we need in Christ. So they forgot God when they got satisfied, when they were full, when they had eaten and when they were full. They also forgot God when they were prospering, because of prosperity. Verse 11 says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God. Lest when you have eaten and are full," verse 12, "and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks have multiplied, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied." They were experiencing prosperity, and when they were experiencing prosperity, they forgot God. How often that is? This is our problem. We're prospering. We've got money in the bank account. We are financially comfortable. Our cars are running. Our houses are in you know, good shape, comfortable. And we've got all of our needs met. It seems like, you know, things are happening for us in a good way, hand over fist. That's when we forget God. We forget that it's God who prospers. Isn't that what God says? God says, "I am the one who prospers. I am the one who makes rich, and I'm the one who makes poor. I'm the one who raises up and brings down." God is the one who prospers us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. It is God who prospers us. And we forget that. Everything we have is from God. And might I remind you that everything we have is on loan from Him, and therefore we are to be good stewards of it, but we are not to hold on to it too tightly, because we can't take it with us when we go. You've heard me say it many times, you never find a hearse or a U-Haul following a hearse. You can't take it with you. It's all going to pass away. It's all temporal. but it's all from God. And all we are to do is be good managers of it and not to take pride in it or to depend upon it. I think it was Cotton Mather who said this, and he was talking about the providence of God. He says, "Providence beget prosperity, and the daughter devoured the mother." In other words, and that isn't that the cycle in the book of Judges? The people fall into sin. They are brought to repentance. God prospers them as a result of their repentance and their obedience. They begin to do very well in the land, and then what happens? They forget God. They fall back in the sin. It's a cycle. It's this endless cycle. Providence beget prosperity, and the daughter devoured the mother. How quickly we forget that we're blessed of God. And it's God who has prospered us. You know, you need to think about this. If you've got a college education, you didn't get that apart from God. God gave you the intellect. If you've been able to build and to accomplish with your hands, God gave you the strength to do that, the ability to do that. If you're an athlete and you are, you know, you're a success on the ball field, that's not because of you. That's because of God. God gave you that ability. God's the one who prospers us. But how often we forget that it's God who's done that and enabled us to do that. And we forget Him. We forget Him. Another reason that they forgot God is simply pride. When they got proud, they forgot God. And actually, pride is at the root of every sin. You know that, don't you? Because what pride... In sin, what we're trying to do is satisfy our desires, our longings, our wants. So pride is at the root of all sin. But when they got proud, when they got proud of where they were, what they had accomplished, they forgot God. Verse 14 says this, "Beware that you forget God." And then he talks about, "Then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." And then you move down to verse 17. "Beware, lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.'" Beware of that. We have absolutely nothing to be prideful about. When you boil it all down, it's been God the whole time. We have nothing to be proud about. Now think about the Apostle Paul. If anybody had reason to be proud and prideful and proud of himself, he did. And he lists reasons why he should be a prideful person, right? In his testimony. But he says, "I count all of that as rubbish. All of that is rubbish. That wasn't me. That was God. By the grace of God, I am who I am." Wherever we are in this life, whatever we've accomplished, it's all been by the grace of God. Every last bit of it. This is one reason why the Reformers call God's grace irresistible. First of all, it's irresistible in regard to salvation, but it's irresistible in that no man can do anything apart from God's grace. Right? No man can do anything apart from God's grace. I think about what Vody Bachum says in one of his things. He talks about if you woke up this morning, you've experienced God's mercy. You've experienced God's grace because He should have killed you in the night in judgment. It's been God's grace the whole way. And none of us have reason to brag or to boast in anything but Christ Jesus. There is nothing more appalling, nothing more I detest than to sit down with somebody and all they do is they talk about themselves. They talk about their accomplishments, what they have done, what their kids have done, and all this other stuff. And you're just like, no, you didn't. That was all God. And when you begin to think about that it's all been of grace, you'll find yourself boasting less. Boasting less and rejoicing in Christ Jesus, exalting the name of God, exalting God because of who He is and what He's done and all that He's done for you, because it's all been of Him. I remember whenever I was back at the previous church, we had done a building project and we had renovated, we built an outreach center, a multi-purpose building, and we had renovated our sanctuary, which was much bigger than this. And I remember one of the deacons saying that I could put that on my resume as an accomplishment. And I was like, I didn't accomplish that. I hadn't done that. That was all God. That was all God. The only thing I have on my resume is where I went to school, what I studied, all, you know, high school, all that stuff, what I studied, my purpose statement, and then my references. That's all I have. I have some of the ministries that I was involved in, faith evangelism strategy, grow evangelism strategy, EE, evangelism explosion. And, I worked in RAs and all these things. But there's nothing on there that I believe that I have accomplished on my own. Therefore, I don't think I can put all that stuff down. I worked at UPS. That was definitely all of God, making it through that. And working at Air Freight, unloading planes and loading trucks at the wee hours of the morning. They call that place purgatory because it takes forever to go full time. You're a part-time employee working your tail off, busting it for about 3 hours every morning, 3:40 in the morning, in the belly of a plane. But there's nothing more beautiful than watching the sun rise on a tarmac. Yeah, our hub, the UPS hub, was right across from the FedEx hub. So their planes would taxi in, and they would turn their jet engines toward us. So you were okay until those planes came in to sit out on the tarmac and watch the sunrise. Or else, after that, you're going to be picking gravel out of your teeth and everything else. So, but that was an interesting experience. I remember FedEx got the contract for the Harry Potter book, and I remember when they flew those books in that day. Everybody was so envious, but I could have cared less. I've not watched Harry Potter, not read a book. Don't desire to either. But it's so easy for us to forget God, and we forget God for all these same reasons. That's the reason why the warning is in the Bible. The warning is in the Bible because it's so relevant to any person living in any age. Any believer living in any age, at any day. It's the reason why the Word of God is so transcendent. It transcends time. It transcends space. It has something to say to each and every generation. Because God's people, in every generation, forget Him for all the same reasons. We get satisfied. We get comfortable, we're prospering, and we just get proud. See, that's what a backslider does. Remember, he turns to his own ways. He turns inward rather than upward. We always have to keep our eyes on God. Keep our eyes on God. Keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace, right? We need to keep our eyes on Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for the challenge that Your Word always has to offer us. Lord, it's good that Your people, your elect people, as you called them, the children of Israel, dealt with the problems that we see them dealing with in Scripture. And we see your dealings, more importantly, we see your dealings with them. And we are reminded of the seriousness of sin, the seriousness of the sin of forgetting you. Because, Lord, it indeed did cost them as your judgment fell upon them on several occasions. So, Lord, may we take this warning seriously. It's not some light thing. It's not some small thing to forget about you, to live life without you in our thoughts, upon our hearts and minds. Not only is it a sin, but it's certainly not beneficial to us, because we find ourselves so oftentimes forgetting about what you're capable of doing at times when we desperately need intervention, when we find ourselves in difficult, troubling, hard circumstances, and we begin to look at self and try to reason things out, and we begin to look to others who have no answers themselves, when we should be looking to you. Because you are capable of doing that which from a human perspective seems impossible. And for those of us who have been Christians long enough, we can testify to that. How much more so should we remind ourselves of that on a daily basis? I am so grateful that in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have so much more than the land of Palestine. We have unsearchable riches, a treasure trove of riches and spiritual blessings in your Son. And may we remember that. May we lean up on that. And may we believe His promise to bless His people, to protect His people, to watch over His people, to never leave or forsake His people. May we know that He's a God, that you're a God who is involved in history, who is involved in the lives of people, who's not detached from what's going on in the world, and in particular, the lives of your children. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us to have this upon our mind as we leave this place and as we make it through from day to day, that there's a danger in forgetting you. Prone to wonder is what the song says we are. Prone to wonder, and we all feel it. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us.